Well, good morning to each of you. Indeed, we have much to be thankful for. We have a gracious and generous God who supplies our need, and we have much to thank him for. The Sunday school lesson today asks an arresting question. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? To me, that's an arresting question. The question this morning is the love of Jesus abiding in you? And how do we interpret this scripture in view of the vast needs that are in our world today? Not only global needs, but we have them right here in our community. We have them in Hutchinson, where there is not only physical poverty, but great spiritual poverty. And so I won't attempt to answer these difficult questions this morning, but I'd like to look at an example in Scripture and lessons we can learn, principles we can take from an example of giving that occurs or is requested in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Another motivation for me to talk about stewardship and giving this morning is because I want to express my appreciation for your generosity as a congregation, having come through a church ministries meeting and just seeing how many people are contributing in so many different ways, whether it's the giving per se, or whether it's managing the giving, or helping dispense it, and so I'm so grateful. I want to express that gratitude this morning. So looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the first five verses are kind of the introduction of the collection for Christians in Jerusalem, reading ESV. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as an exaction. And so the background is that the persecuted church in Jerusalem was suffering poverty, and Paul was looking to those in Corinth and surrounding area to help raise money to meet their needs. And so he makes several, so as we go on down through verses, through the next verses, we see some important points that he mentions about giving. And we want to, we'll briefly mention about five of them. Perhaps you can think of what those might be as we read through this passage. Verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Verse 6, he clearly says what the first point is. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So point number one, sow plentifully. And he goes to the agrarian example of the farmer planting seed. I think that it's possible that we may think we're sowing plentifully, but perhaps we're not sowing as plentifully as we think we are in the wheat. As we plant wheat, the later it gets in the fall, the more seed we need to plant because of the lack of time that the plant has to shoot up tillers. And since each tiller has a head, we need as many heads as we can get. And so we have to be increasing our populations. And so we've long known that. And so we may start out in September with planting 700,000 or 800,000 seeds per acre. And as we get on into October, we may bump that up to 1 million. And then as we get on late October, maybe 1.5 million or whatever. And so we've been trying to make some of these adjustments. And then just Friday evening, I was talking to my crop consultant, and I was saying, well, now 1.5 million or 1.65 is surely going to be enough, isn't it? And he said, he said, you need to plant at least 1.8 million or really 2 million. In fact, in some areas of the country, they start at 2 million. And I thought, oh my, well, I sure have my sights set lower. And then I was thinking, well, okay, maybe that goes along with some of our giving sometimes. We think, we are giving a lot. And then we realize, it's maybe not as, maybe it's more sparingly than we thought. That's point number one. Give so plentifully. Point number two is so cheerfully. In verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In Proverbs 11, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. In Galatians 6 and 7, or 6 through 10, say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So let us give cheerfully. Number three, trust God to give the increase. God is able, in verse 8 it says, to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he is distributed freely, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And I believe God wants us to trust him to give the increase. You see, and I think the reason we can trust him comes in verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And so I think he is saying here that if you, here at Corinth, will be unselfish, if you will give of what you have to meet the needs of the Judean Christians, then God will increase the effect of that. The Corinthians will sow the monetary gift of the seed, but God will increase the effect of that righteous deed, so that it produces a harvest, and the harvest of increased unity, love, thanksgiving, is what results in that in trusting God to provide for their needs, even as they give unselfishly. And there's a promise with this, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Which is point number four, the giving increases the glory to God because of the resulting thankfulness. That happens. It reminds me of when we were cleaning up brush for Willard's neighbor here last fall, and the neighbor lady was so thankful that we came to remove that brush, and she was just bubbling over with gratefulness to God for the way that she had been helped, and I believe it may have been answered to her prayer, and so that is the result. That can come from our giving. And it seems that is the purpose of all of our giving, is that thanksgiving should result from grateful hearts to God. And lastly, I'd like to make the point that God is the generous giver. In the closing verse is, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And see, in verse 13 talks about, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. God is generous. And sometimes we forget to think about how generous God really is. In the song that we just sung before I started here, we were naming the gifts of God. The gifts, of course, we know that it began in Jesus in willingly giving his life on the cross. So we have that, but there is so much in the world around us for which we regularly receive God's good gifts. And I'm wondering if we fail to see God as a generous God or God as a loving God, then I'm wondering if there's a possibility that we're living with unconfessed sin in our lives so that we tend to fear God as our judge. But I believe that if we choose to live our lives in clear transparency before our God and before those around us, we may see God for the loving, generous God that he really is. I'm so grateful that the Corinthians responded to Paul's request. We see in Romans 15 that he said that he went to Jerusalem and he took the aid along to the saints. It says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. And this gift was used as a bridge to help. And I know there's many questions that come up as to how do you help appropriately. I will not attempt to address those now. But I'd just like to, I just want to leave this question. Think seriously with me. Is the love of God, is the love of the Lord Jesus truly abiding in you? Do you pass this test that's given in our lesson today? Would you kneel in prayer with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we prostrate ourselves before you,
and recognize that you are our great, loving, and generous God. Thank you so much. Thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus. Thank you for the blessing of how you have made us, and you have made us relational creatures that will find joy in fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. And so as we think about our responsibility to you and to our brothers, and to those in the Christian faith, both near and far, we just ask that you would help us to ask ourselves the question, are we sowing plentifully? Are we doing it cheerfully? Are we trusting you to give the increase? Are we bringing glory to your name through those who are thankful for how you've provided for their needs? We just ask, Lord, that you would, that your searchlight would shine deep within us, that you would help us, that you would show us how you want us to live, how you want us to express love to each other, how you want us to be all that we can be for the purpose of your kingdom and glory. So we just now, Lord, commit the rest of this service, each part, into your hand and ask for your grace and blessing to overflow in it. Through the name of Jesus, amen.